Welcome to Death Holler, Season 5, When Bad Animals Go Bad. With your hosts, the Reverend Dr. Death and Lyraina. This season will include love.
Do you know how your husband died?
Oh, yes. I killed him.
Transformations. And certified good boys and girls.
Cujo, what are you growling at?
Remember, when you're in Death Holler, listener discretion is always advised.
Everyone, and welcome back to Death Holler. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Death, and joining me as always is my co-host, Lyraina. The full moon encompasses the land once again, and there's a killer on the loose. You ready to solve some murders, Lyraina?
I am, and I'm excited.
February is the snow moon, and even though we're recording this when the weather in Appalachia is a balmy 70 degrees, and it was today, which was pretty nice.
What? It was
stormy out
here.
Doesn't mean winter's completely gone. It was really nice outside today.
Yeah.
But that little rat in Pennsylvania said we'd have 6 more weeks of winter. So,
don't talk about Daphne like that.
She's not the little rat.
Oh, man.
This episode, we're going to cover, we're covering a relatively new addition to the werewolf genre, a independent horror comedy that was released in 2020. And we'll get into why that was bad for this poor movie.
Aww.
Using the link between werewolf lore and serial killings and crafting a murder mystery, this little film has some interesting breakdowns of the myths we've come to accept as the core of werewolf films. So let's cross the police tape, try not to disturb the crime scene, and step lightly over that severed head as we review The Wolf of Snow Hollow. But first, if you're enjoying the podcast, we'd appreciate it if you would take the time to like, comment, subscribe on whatever podcast platform you prefer. It helps us get more visibility on podcast listings and helps us grow. Also, consider following us on social media. You can find us on TikTok and Twitter under Death Holler Pod, and we can be found on Instagram and Facebook under Death Holler Podcast. We appreciate everyone who listens and hope you enjoy the show. The Wolf of Snow Hollow from 2020. Tagline, welcome to Snow Hollow. Easy enough.
It's easy enough. I don't like it because it's just not, I don't know, it's not dreary enough. It's not threatening enough, you know?
It doesn't match the dread underneath the snark that this movie has. So we'll get into that in a little bit. Directed by Jim Cummings, written by Jim Cummings, music by Ben Lovett. It was made for a budget of $2 million, which is not bad considering what some of the effects they had in it. It only made $266,963. It came out in October of the year that they shut everything down.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so we're not going to – I don't think that counts. Like, I get it is a very small box office, but, like, I don't think that attributes to, you know, the quality of the film.
It does not. I mean, in my opinion, it definitely doesn't. It's just the fact that it came out at a bad time.
Yeah.
I mean – principal players, we have Jim Cummings, the writer and director, playing the lead character, John Marshall, a recovering alcoholic deputy and single father. He was also in Halloween Kills.
Ooh, my favorite Halloween movie.
It was. The Beta Test and Thunder Road, which are both movies that I believe he wrote and directed as well.
Okay, and he's talented. Now, I have to say this, and I'm not trying to bring down the mood of the show. Like, I assure everyone I'm okay. But he looks... And in this film, has the same demeanor as Noah's recently deceased brother that was also a cop. His goddaughter, which is my daughter, was like, oh, my God, that looks like him.
It The one thing that if I could give any accolade to this movie above and anything else, the fact that the way he portrayed this character, yes, and working the alcoholism in, how he, you know, fell off the wagon, and if anybody in any horror movie has reason to fall off the wagon, it was this guy, because I mean, he is going through some shit in this movie. Like, I mean, it wasn't like his life was good beforehand, but I mean, just the stuff that happens to him in this movie is enough to, it's like, okay. Yeah. I mean, you hate it for him that he's sabotaging his work and his personal relationship because he hits the booze again. But I mean, he's under a lot of stress, and he sells that in the movie that he's under a lot of stress. Ricky Lindholm plays Detective Julia Robson, who's a true crime fanatic, and the female deputy in the movie, who actually is fairly good at her job, to be perfectly honest. I mean, she's the one, yeah, actually trying to solve the crimes.
Yes, and she's being a little bit more logical than everyone else around her.
Yeah, while they're sitting there coming up with wild theories about what's happening, she's trying to get to the actual core of it. She was in Last House on the Left, the remake from 2009.
Damn.
She was in the Lego Batman movie, played the voice of Poison Ivy in that.
Yeah, she does actually have a great voice now that I think about it.
Knives Out, she was in that. And she was in 8 episodes of Wednesday because she played the Dr. Valerie Kinbod, who was the psychiatrist who I believe Wednesday has to talk to on several episodes.
Hold up. Hold on. Dr. Valerie. Oh, it's not showing it on here, but. Oh my God, that does not look like her. Well, I guess with the blonde hair and the bangs, obviously.
Yeah. She looks quite a bit different from I would almost say her character kind of looks like somebody who was an extra from Fargo in this movie. The way that she kind of dresses and everything.
Yes.
We have Robert Forster playing Sheriff Hadley, who has a bad heart, and he's the father to John, just trying to do his best before he retires to wrap up these crimes. Robert was in Jackie Brown, Mulholland Drive, and a movie called Grave Intentions. This was actually like the last movie one of the last movies he filmed, because it was released a year after he passed away.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's ironically, he was dying in the movie.
Yeah, it's really crazy. Chloe East plays Jenna Marshall, who's John's daughter. Most recently, she's been in the movie Heretic, which has, I'm trying to think of that actor's name, the British guy or whatever from Notting Hill. But anyways, mm-hmm. he plays kind of like this weird, creepy, I don't know, like door-to-door, like, you know, Bible thumper, but then like he's really got like these weird twisted sexual things, I think is how the movie's set up. But yeah, it's supposed to be pretty good. I've not seen it yet. It came out just last year. And Will Madden plays Paul Carnuri, who's a taxidermist, a serial killer, spoiler alert, and a werewolf. We'll get to that.
Hold on. Very important information. He's only 6 foot, and I got some nerve saying that as someone who's 5'2".
He looks, when he stands up in this movie, he looks like he is 7 feet tall.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, holy shit, he's like, stand up to your actual height, and I'm like, oh, it's coming.
All right, since we're clarifying things, I'm going to look up that actor's name because it's killing me, and it is... in Heretic, the main actor is Hugh Grant.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, I just couldn't remember his friggin' name. It's been a while, so. Anyway, synopsis for this movie. The small community of Snow Hollow is a relatively nice place to live. There's a vibrant snowboarding, skiing community. The locals are fairly friendly, if you aren't a bleeding heart liberal, that is. Because they have some choice words to say about the gay population. And the local police basically just sit around and shoot the shit over coffee. That is, until a series of murders rocks this little community and leaves everyone scrambling for answers and a killer. Is the talk of a werewolf true? It can't be, can it? That sort of stuff straight out of fairy tales and scary movies. Except the bodies have the mark of a large animal. Wolf fur is found mixed in with the clothing fibers, and the killings happen during the full moon. So, quotes from John Marshall. I'm having a hard time with this thing, honey. It's nothing you have to worry about. I'm going to find the guy, obviously, but I'm curious if you still have that pepper spray I got you for communion. And then Jenna's like, I think so. You realize that was a weird gift to give somebody, right? And he's like, I do. It's okay. You'll never need it, but I want you to promise me that you're going to find it and keep it on you at all times.
That was so funny.
Which is funny, and the way he delivers it's perfect, but at the same time, the fact that it gets used on him later, whenever he breaks into her boyfriend's room or whatever, is kind of funny.
Oh, so. Yeah. Big time. But also, like, how... I can't imagine the daughter of the sheriff saying, that's a weird gift to give to your teenage daughter. I feel like a sheriff would have given his daughter a fucking gun, you know?
I agree with that, but in the context of it, a communion gift is the weird part. Like, just a random gift, yeah, but communion is weird.
That is so funny, though.
Officer Julia Robson. This is the job, and it sucks often, but you're going to lose a lot more than that if you don't start focusing on the important stuff. You want to be sheriff, how about we start acting like one?
Oh, that was powerful.
Yeah, it was a good scene in the movie because that's where he's on his bender, and he's basically fucking up his own personal life. He's ruining the investigation. I mean, he's spiraling at this point in the movie.
Yeah, that was such a good scene, and she drove him, which is even more powerful, you know?
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because in a movie like this, you almost get the impression that she's gunning for the job since she's actually more competent than him, but she's really just wanting to support him.
Yeah.
And like it's kind of neat that they played it that way, because God knows we've been given enough movies where the girl boss gets it done and the guy's stupid, and they make a point at the end of the movie that the guy doesn't get any redemption whatsoever.
Could also be another reason this movie didn't do so good, because it didn't give that, you know?
It didn't fall into that trap.
Yeah.
Also, Officer Julia Robson, John, we're going to need fingerprints. Her top is gone. And then John's stuttering, her what? And then she says her head is gone. And then John just like pauses for a second. He's like, got it.
So fucking dumb.
Officer Julie Robson, animal hair is part pit bull, but that's because Hannah was a dog owner. The rest of the hair is all gray wolf. Lab's still working on it, but it's possible that a pack of wolves visited our crime scene between her murder and our arrival, but that seems unlikely. Teeth are consistent with a wolf, so if anybody sees Michael J. Fox walking around, let me know. I like the callback on that one.
That's pretty funny.
All right, visuals in this movie, since we're going to get into it. What did you think about the werewolf itself?
Okay, when you first see it, this is going to be a spoiler alert. I thought it was a real werewolf.
Yeah, spoiler. I mean, they do a damn good job of selling you on it, especially in the scene. I want to say it's with a snowboarder. Like, you get like little, that's where you see it full on, and it just stands up on, you know, it's like back legs or whatever, like a man. And just in the moonlight, you can see in the distance and just like looks directly at her. It's a pretty good scene, I think.
Yeah, I think the lighting, which we always get into, which is, I mean, perfect. We're talking about visuals, but the way they didn't just have it silhouetted, because it wasn't just a silhouette you saw. You saw a wolf. Like, you're sure that you saw a wolf. But then later we find out why we think we saw a wolf.
The interesting thing about that is, though, if you watch the movie, they always juxtapose the actual death of the person with the actual crime investigation the next day. So the movie is narratively cheating you because it's showing you what they put together after the fact, but not actually what happened, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
So you're seeing,
I had to brain that for a second.
So you're seeing the werewolf and you're seeing it attack, but it's being cut interspersed with the scenes of Jim or John and the rest of the police investigating. Mm-hmm. So it's actually what you're seeing is them piecing together mentally, you know, instead of actually what occurred the night before, which is however you feel about that, but it's an unreliable narrator. So if John's the narrator of the movie, then that's the reason you're getting it, you know.
Yes, the way
because
that.
Way that it's coming about.
If you go to Discord real quick, I sent a pretty clear picture of the wolf. And what I want to point out in this photo, excuse me, the human portraying as a wolf, but I'm sorry, would you please look at the bottom of his feet and how it looks like that's an actual, the bend actually looks like it could be an animal that walks on all fours?
Yes, that's what threw me off. That's what I noticed when it raised up. I thought that was really cool that they kept that like weird bend in the leg like a wolf would have.
Exactly. It's one of the best. That scene, the scene of the wolf alone, yes, he's killing somebody. Okay, wolves kill people all the time. I'm not impressed. But that that visual is just so perfect. I mean, look at, you've got the snow, you've got the striking appearance of the wolf, the head.
My eyes look like they're glowing in the moonlight.
Oh my God, it is perfection.
And then there's blood at his feet, which is, you know, it makes it even better. The other part that I liked in the movie, going back to the werewolf scene, and this is the weird one because this doesn't do the narrative cheat, so I don't know, but it's also Jim Cummings, the actor, but like John Marshall, the character, is seeing this. So it makes me wonder if it's, you know, again, he's in full werewolf hysteria at this part of the movie. So again, I think it's, we're seeing it from his point of view. So he's convinced there's a werewolf.
Yes.
It's when he goes to save his daughter, who is out with her boyfriend. He sees the wolf sitting on top of one of the cars before it runs away. And you get to see it again in full, you know, outline. But again, I think it's because we're seeing it from his point of view, and he is convinced there's a werewolf at this point in the movie. Like he fought it at the beginning, but then he halfway through, especially with his drinking, he buys into it, and that's why you start seeing it that way.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Can we also discuss how fucking snotty that little bitch-ass daughter was being?
She was being such a bitch.
She was
in that
so
scene.
In the wrong. Like, I was like,
to give her credit, I do like the scene afterward where he is completely drunk off his ass, embarrassing to a degree. She is carrying him upstairs, which is both sad and heartwarming at the same time, because sad because you can tell she's done this before multiple times for him, and heartwarming in the sense that she still cares enough about him to try to help him up when he's, you know, acting like an idiot.
Exactly. But back to visuals, though. I want to discuss the wolf running away from the scene we were just discussing, getting away from the gunshots, running into another fucking officer and fucking decimating him.
The only part in this movie that looks a little bit cheesy if you watch too closely, especially in the HD, is that officer in the trash can, because
looks very,
the face looks very rubbery.
Yeah, I was going to say it looks very Spirit Halloween.
Yes. Because even the scene where the one snowboarder gets her arm, like, cut off, like, the way that they made the bone and, like, the gristle at the end of her, like, appendage, it looks pretty good.
Yeah. Also, the arm laying in the snow didn't look very great, though. It looked a little too long for her body.
That's true, yeah.
So, I mean, there was its pros and cons. Like, it wasn't perfection.
There is a visual, though, at the beginning of the movie that I did not notice until I rewatched it this time, which I really like. When the first couple gets attacked outside the hot tub or whatever, there's the wolf print in the snow.
Yes.
And reflected in her puddle of blood within the wolf print is the moon, like, perfectly preserved in the wolf print. It's a pretty nice visual.
I did hear her vagina was removed, though. That was disturbing.
It was.
Holy crap.
Because they were trying to see if it was a rape
thing. And they're like, well, it's missing.
And they're like, well, it's missing, so sorry, we can't give you that information.
Oh, that's fucking horrible.
Now, this is not really visual. This is more just movie related, like plot. In the movie, when the one chick is like in the diner, and some weird creepy guy starts telling her about her home and how and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Well, she's actually killed later on. I mean, with her child. Do you think in that scene it was the taxidermist that was talking to her? Because they paint it at this point in the movie as if everybody in town has seen the werewolf. But she actually gets attacked later, which lends credit to the fact that she actually saw the real dude.
I think it was him because it sounded like him.
Okay. The only thing that I don't like about this movie is they don't give you enough scenes with him to ever paint him as the villain.
No, I didn't even connect it because I was like, that could be him. It could not, because when you go to the police and you're like, this weird guy was asking me questions, I think it's him. The police can't just be like, yeah, we think it's him. And she's like, do you think it's him? Like, you can't. Like, it's no, you all you told us was that you had a conversation with a guy that was possibly a little awkward, or he was tall or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I heard him talking to the cop at his house where he's like, you know, sit down, have a drink, blah blah blah, that I was like, that did sound like the guy in the diner. The calmness of his voice.
That's a good callback, because it's that scene where, like, if you're going, I mean, since we're on that scene, when John closes the door. And he steps away, and then he's like, he's got like that spidey sense that goes off, and he's like, do you care to step out, you know?
That was crazy.
Yeah, when he reveals himself, you get kind of get that goosebump feeling. It's like, oh shit, he just figured it out, and now he's going to get fucking shanked.
He's like, but the thing I want to know is, what did he say? Because what threw my red flags when he was talking was, how's your daughter? Like, it is a small town.
I think that was what tipped him off in the back of his head. Like, when he started to leave and he was just like, wait a minute. He's like, that conversation was a little off. Like, and then, because this is the first point in the movie where he's actually doing good police work. Like, he's back sober again. He's kicked the habit again. And, like, he's thinking, and he's like, no, this ain't right. And then, mm-hmm. like, he shows that he's actually a good policeman when he puts his mind to it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he is. It's just that things, I mean, altogether, they're not adding up. And if he not only is he, okay, so he's exhausted. He's got to deal with his dad. He's got to deal with his daughter. He's got to deal with the idiots on his police force. He's got to deal with the coroner that's being a dumb fuck.
And being a completely dumb fuck,
He knows it, so he's carrying the weight of all these people, which on top of that, now he's drinking because he has to do that. Plus, this case is keeping him up almost 24/7. Like, he is on a downward spiral. Like, I understood the way he portrays the character, which we're going into acting, which we'll back out. We're gonna put a pin in that and come back to it, because holy fuck.
The other thing I'll say story-wise, I like the fact that because he's going through so much of this, and because his time is conflicted, the one little life boat that he had, you know, life preserver, whatever you want to call it, was NA that he earned, well, AA, I guess, in this case, that he was going to. He couldn't even go there because he didn't have the time to go to any of the meetings.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you throw that in on top of the fact that his dad dies in the movie. His daughter's giving him shit. His ex-wife treats him like pure dog doo-doo.
I was dying because, like, she's... Okay, if her dad is such a bad dad, how is the mom, being the bitch that she is, allowing him to... or her daughter to stay with him?
Yeah, it's like she doesn't want anything to do with the daughter, but she, at the same time, wants to hold that over his head. She is complete ass. And the only person in the movie that, like, is really looking out for him is literally that female detective who's his partner in the movie. Like, she's the only one that's, like, trying to get him back on the straight and narrow at one point in the movie with that line that we delivered. She's the only one who's, you know, overlooking his clearly, like, his descent. Because she knows that if she can get him back, that he can, you know, live up to, you know, the expectations of everybody. And that's the other thing too. Everybody in the town is putting pressure on him. It's like, what the fuck are you going to do with this? And he's like, I'm doing my best. Like, I don't know what you want me to do. Like, you know, and then the other cops are, like you said, are not giving him any help whatsoever. I mean, they're running out every stupid ass theory and they actually sidetrack him and convince him that it's a werewolf at one point in the movie.
Yes. Which, I mean, like, can you blame him for thinking it's a werewolf though?
I mean, no. I mean, especially, I mean, given his mental state at the point in the movie that he's at, I mean, he's grasping at straws, and that's kind of the point. What I like about the movie is they talk about this, and that if you go back and look at the werewolf lore, he even says it, why did it happen during the full moon? There's more visibility. You can do more during a full moon. You can go out and you can kill somebody pretty easily because you can see just as well, as you need to. So they worked that in, that serial killers tended to operate during the full moon because they could. They work in the fact that, I mean, you know, just the basic stuff about how they, you know, could, you know, we talked about this, like they take some versions of the werewolf myth is that they take on the hides of the beast and become the beast themselves. Is that not what this villain does in this movie?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even if he's, and this goes back in the werewolf lore, even if he is not physically a wolf, the hide, the claws, and his mental state.
Yes.
He's a wolf, you know.
I mean, I'm sorry, but when we saw, have we moved on to story?
We're in story.
Okay,
yes.
Good. But this is kind of visual, kind of story. But, like, can you... When you saw this guy, when he went to the house to kind of give him, when the cop went to give him his whatever evidence back, and you're looking at him, were you like, this is the wolf?
I mean, I wouldn't originally, but I thought he was kind of creepy looking whenever I looked at him.
Yeah, it was when he went to the cabin. I was like, this is 100% the wolf. I knew at that point.
It very much fits the other stuff though, like Little Red Riding Hood. Yes. I mean, it's in a cabin out in the middle of, you know, nowhere, just like, you know, grandma's house.
I knew when I saw taxidermy, I'm like, there's going to be body parts there and it's not going to be animals.
The funny thing is they do a very good misdirect though with the one guy who they keep showing during the movie, who's the meth head that's living in a trailer, who has a wolf like dog or whatever around him. And he's got the wolf tattoo on his arm. I mean, it all kind of fits.
There's always got to be a red herring. If we know one thing, there's mostly in a lot of werewolf movies, there's a red herring.
That might have been the point, too, where John figures it out, because whenever he mentions that other guy being the actual killer, the taxidermist has that creepy grin on his face. He's like, yeah, he always struck me as someone who would do something like that. Oh, that
motherfucker.
But yeah, I like the fact that they, because of the narrative cheats and the fact that they work in like the actual, what probably was the, inspired werewolf stories was legit serial killers who operated in the middle of the night during the full moon.
Yeah.
I like that they worked all that in and actually made a new version of that into a story. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
And then of course they don't have to kill him with a silver bullet because he's a man. Exactly. So they just have to shoot him at the end of the movie.
Yep. Which, such a good movie.
All right. You can go into acting, talk about how great Jim Cummings is as the cop for one, because he fucking is.
I don't think there's anyone in this film that I could say this was horrible acting at all. Because I think there was so few characters in the movie, even the random townspeople, it wasn't like there was a ton of them. None of them stood out to me that said, this is not good acting or they need to try a little bit harder. But yes, Jim Cummings being the producer, the director, the actor, not only is he the president, he's a client too, you know. Can you hear my dogs?
No.
Okay, good. There's one crying out. It's the main one. It's Buck. He's giving a big old wah wah. I'm going to tell my daughter to come get him. Oh, there he goes.
I can hear him now. Yeah.
Sorry, everybody. He's being a bad boy. Okay, hold on. I'm texting my daughter. There we go. Anyways, okay, going back to Jim, though, he makes you feel every fucking emotion. When he was drunk and falling over, I could feel like I was drunk and falling over. When he's trying to apologize for being how he was under the influence, you can feel the emotion from that, but you could still feel the anger because they're trying to make him get the story out and he can't, you know, like he's trying to put the words together.
The anger and the panic that he has whenever he's like losing like the narrative, like the people in the town are like turning on him. You can feel like his frustration through him. Like, yeah. I mean, he does such a good job. One other thing that kicks back to visuals and story, and it ties into him as a character and his acting. They keep showing this scene of like the stove and then the cabinet over top of
him.
Why do they keep showing? They keep zooming in on it. And eventually when he has his breakdown, you see why, because he goes into that. It's all from his perspective. Mm-hmm. When he is having his worst moments, the reason it keeps flashing back to that stove is because in his mind, he's like, those two fucking beers. I just need those two beers and everything will be fine. Everything. And so that was his calming mechanism for whenever he was in like his panic mode. That's why you keep seeing that interspersed and during his crazier scenes is because he is thinking, I just need those and everything will be solved. Just those two beers that I've got hidden up in there.
Oh, and those were hidden in the stove?
They were hidden in the cabinet above the stove, and that's where he pulls them down, you know, and that's when he starts the drinking all over again.
I didn't catch that. And he was like, as a, you know, when he was mostly sober, maybe he wasn't sober in some of the scenes, but he seemed so, for the most part, coherent to me that, and I know there's, what do they call them? They're
functional drunks.
Functional drunks, yeah.
Yeah. He the only time in the movie where he is not like that, and you could tell he's on his bender whenever he chooses to have the Levi's jeans instead of his regular cop uniform, which is kind of funny that he defaults to that. But the scene in the movie where he decides to kick it, that he's decided that he's going to, that he's tired of it and he's going to try to solve this sober, is there, somebody comes to him, and I can't remember the details of it, but he's sitting there and he's getting ready to pour some alcohol, some whiskey or something into his coffee. And somebody's like, "Hey, you know, John, we need you, something, you know, bad happened or whatever." And he takes a look at it, and then you see him, and as he's walking out the door, he just tosses the flask as he, you know, and keeps his regular coffee without anything in it as he goes out to, you know, talk to the whoever it is about the new details that are being revealed in that scene. So it's little things like that, that add up throughout the movie that really sell the fact that, you know, this guy, he's not perfect. And in fact, through most of the movie, there's parts where you kind of hate him as the protagonist because he's just freaking out. But then at the same time, you're empathetic with him. It's like, well, what would I do? I mean, especially when he goes to the hospital and his daughter just looks at him and she shakes her head, letting him know that his dad had passed or whatever. Like, that's bad, you know, like if he needed anything else to ruin his day, the fact that his dad passing away and he wasn't there to be with him, that's rough, you know?
Yeah, but that's not how life, or in this case, death works, you know, especially given what his job is. It's like nobody understands that not only are they expecting him to be a good father and a good son and blah, 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 this perfect citizen, but they also want him to find this murderer right now. So they want him to be in two places at once. You're a horrible father. You're a horrible cop. Well, you know, which one do you want him to work on? Because if he works on just being a good father, now you don't have the main sheriff working on finding who this killer is. If you want him to work on the killer, he cannot be present 24/7 in his daughter's life.
And if you don't want him drinking, then he can't be constantly gone investigating this stuff or being at these crime scenes when he really, really needs to be at an AA meeting at least, you know, every so often to have backup. And they even set that up, too, because when he goes to the meetings, he's catching shit there from the people. Yes! And that drives him away from the meetings. You know?
That was very annoying because I'm like, that's not how those are supposed to work.
That's not how those are supposed to work. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to sit there and they're supposed to listen to your problems and they're supposed to be, you know, give you the empathy that nobody else will give you and you do the same or whatever. And in that scene, they're hammering even more so that he's a failure and he's just like, fuck it. I'm out, you know?
Yeah. God damn it. She didn't take the dog, but, back to acting, the girl, the daughter. Now, obviously, we talked about her, you know, her fucking blowout when he was trying to save her when he had a fucking killer in his sight and he can't go and catch that motherfucker because now he's got to tend to his daughter and she's mad at him because he's not concerned when she wasn't even supposed to be there in the first place. Like, she literally was interfering with a crime scene.
Yeah, like, she's all pissed at him, but then he even tells her in that scene, it's like, you were not supposed to be fucking outside tonight. Yeah. Like, what are you doing here, you know?
And not only that, but, like, she's like, I'm bleeding from the skull. Take me to the hospital. Bitch, like, I will call you an ambulance. How about that? Did you see that? That's a fucking killer right there. And also her boyfriend running away, that shit. Ooh, I'd be so mad, too.
Oh, yeah. The fact that I love the scene because he's still in his bender mode. Like, he gets into, like, the boy's hat. Like, the mom's sitting there, and she's like, what are you doing here? Like, what are you, you know, he just busts in, and, like, he gives that boy, like, the, you know, like, I know what the fuck he's doing, and I'm about to whip your ass, and just be thankful your mom's here, or you would get, you know, the shit kicking of a lifetime.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Again, I just want to reiterate that there wasn't any kind of scene with any specific actor that I didn't think that they were doing their best job, you know, or that anything just felt, I don't know, because sometimes you at least get one actor that you're like, this is, I don't know why they were in the film.
You usually get the one actor that's so flat that they're just like, yeah, they probably shouldn't have had them have any screen presence whatsoever.
They must know the director.
Yeah, but I mean, given the fact that he was also doing everything behind the camera, the fact that he delivered such a good, you know, I mean, he was probably encouraging other people to do, you know, the acting on their behalf, but it's tough when you're having to act and you don't have anybody else calling the shots for you. So you got to give him credit for that. Like, he's doing a great job considering the fact that he don't have that direction. Like, he could sit there and tell the others, like, okay, pull it back a little bit, or, you know, go a little bit more with that scene. He just got to live in the moment, figure out how the character's operating, you know?
I mean, he had a vision, and I think he fucking went with it, and I think it turned out awesome.
Yeah, I was really impressed by this movie when I watched it. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, you don't ever know with these independent movies, but I kept seeing recommendations. Now on the internet, it is pretty divided. Some people, because of the reveal at the end of the movie and because of him being unlikable as a protagonist through most of the film, maybe even all of it, depending upon your view of him. I'd say he's empathetic just because of the shit that he's going through. Yeah. But there's some people that just think that he's a little overbearing in scenes. But, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, whatever. But I've seen, like, the people, there's the divide, especially on, like, Reddit and stuff, where half the people said that they loved it. Other people said that they thought that the reveal that there wasn't actual werewolf, and the fact that he was so unlikable, they just turned him off to the movie entirely. I get that. So it's kind of, your mileage may vary on what you're looking for in the movie, I guess.
Yeah, I want to say I was disappointed it wasn't a real werewolf, but I was like, Holy fuck. Like, it was actually a good twist that I was like, no fucking shit. This was a person. Like, it wasn't a person that turns into a werewolf. It's a person that just, like, it's a furry, basically a murderous furry. Yeah,
basically a murderous furry. That's what it is.
Oh my God.
Which, in all honesty, I mean, going back to the original lore, could have been legit what some people were doing. I mean, you go back, they probably did dress in the carcass of wolves and kill people at night, and then, you know, oh, there's a wolf on the loose, you know.
That is some bullshit. That's probably a thing. I don't know. That or you're actually dealing with a huge fucking wolf, which they get big.
Yeah, that's true, too. And especially, yeah, especially in Germany, where, I mean, the lore primarily comes from, there was a lot of wolves in the Black Forest and everything, so.
Yeah. Have you seen those wolf lodges you can stay at where you're in a cabin and there's basically essentially a backyard with caged in wolves, and you can see them. They can't see you, and it is beautiful, but some of them are so fucking ginormous, and it's a glass. And I know it's probably like, I don't know, maybe like fucking 20 inch glass or whatever, you know, like it's just insane. So they can't break in, but the way that it looks is fucking scary. It's beautiful, but it's also scary. I'm like, uh-uh. Like, and then they show the gates where they can't, like, one lady was showing a gate where the wolves are, and it doesn't, to me, doesn't look secure enough that I'd be comfortable in the front yard that these wolfies couldn't, you know?
I don't think we're covering that this movie this season unless we decide to add a special episode just for it. Oh, The Gray. So, it's a movie with Liam Neeson, and basically he is an expert hunting wolves in Alaska, and they have like this very aggressive pack that they need him to go in and hunt so they can work on the pipeline there. And basically it becomes a revenge movie where they kill every human person in the group except for him, and he is left to basically try to take them out on his own.
Damn.
And it's pretty wild. I mean, especially when you get to the end of the movie, and it does not, I mean, I'm not going to reveal how, but it's one of those endings where you have to interpret what you think happened, because it doesn't give you a definite end to the movie. But the thing of it is just going back to say that wolves, I mean, you know, they might look cute and cuddly, but I mean, they're still predacious, and they'll still, you know, I mean, they'll fuck you up. I mean, like, we're just lucky enough that most places we don't have them to worry about.
Yeah.
I mean, we have coyotes here, and I mean, you know, they're annoying, but they're not like wolves. I mean, you know, they're not as organized or as aggressive. Yeah. You know?
Interesting. Okay.
But again, I don't know. It might be a movie we might want to add, because I mean, it literally is like man versus nature in that movie. And the wolves are pretty fucking wild, but I mean, I don't know if it's not technically a horror movie. It's more like a, like I said, an action revenge movie, if anything else.
I know we talked about adding in Jurassic Park, and I know we can definitely fit that in or move another movie, but let me see, because December was kind of, I know this is kind of going on a quick tangent, but we could probably get rid of The Revenant and replace it with that one.
Well, we could. I mean, because The Revenant only really has the one scene mm-hmm. where he fights the bear, and then the rest of the movie is him trying to get revenge against, whatever the guy who plays Venom or whatever, Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
And so that movie is legit like Liam Neeson trying to get revenge against a wolf, which is, you know, I mean, the entire movie is him trying to get revenge.
Okay. So. Well, I've just removed that one. And then we'll have to go through like November and December again and kind of figure. I mean, December looks pretty good right now, so I don't think we should touch December anymore. I know November was questionable for, you know, or I don't know. We'll go through it and figure out where we're going to fit in Jurassic Park. So
The only other thing I was going to add about this movie as far as the music, it's the music's fine. It's got kind of like a quirky, like, you know, it adds more to the comedy than it does the horror in the movie, I think, except in the scene where he realizes who the killer is.
Yes.
Then you get that like swell of like horror music as the killer steps out, which is funny because when we talked off air, the way that that killer steps through the door is almost like how in my dream, the killer stepped through the, and it wasn't after I watched this movie either. It was before that. So it was kind of weird.
But. Yeah, it is very, God, I don't know the word I would want to use to describe it, how scary it looks or threatening, you know?
Yeah, whenever you just see somebody and they're that big or whatever as they're stepping through, you know, like the door, and you realize it's like, oh, shit, you know? There's not a lot of trivia in this movie, so we can get through it really quick, and then we'll give our review on it. This was released nearly a year, like I said, after the passing of Robert Forster, who played Sheriff Hadley. Kind of weird that he's sick throughout this movie and dying, and then he really passed away. And finally, the only bit of other trivia about this movie is that in a 2020 interview on the Roger Ebert site, Jim Cummings spoke about the inspiration for the film and said, "The myth of the werewolf is really about anger. It's about a guy who doesn't have control over his anger once a month, so he goes out and kills people.
Wow.
It's closer to a serial killer story. I was reading the books of FBI criminal profiler John Douglas and watching the first season of Mindhunter. I read every book by Douglas, and he was the one who inspired The Silence of the Lambs."
Wow.
That author, Thomas Harris, hung out at the FBI Academy in Quantico, and Douglas played recordings of serial killers. It was one of the first serial killer movies that was inspired by John's work. I thought I could do a horror movie in the style of Zodiac from 2007, but as a comedy, and it's kind of structured that way, all with the montages and the sequence editing. It feels like David Fincher-esque, although it's almost Danny McBride-style comedy. I feel like he's pretty close to that, because it definitely is a serial killer story. It's definitely the horror version of it. And then whenever you go the extra route and think about Danny McBride being like, Danny McBride's comedy is very like, it depends. He's very hit or miss with people because he's very much an unlikable protagonist in everything that he's in. But if you jive with how he is, you find the humor in it. And I could see Jim's character being the same way. So that makes sense that that's what he was shooting for.
Man, it's funny because his character, if you think about his character in the movie, how many books he was researching.
Yeah, just pouring through all
of
them.
Yeah, so it's kind of, it's almost exactly what he did to kind of put this film together.
And I love the line, too, that he tells, like, I think it was like the librarian. He's like, by the way, don't tell anybody that we were researching this kind of shit.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a good little touch.
It's a small town. It's going to happen anyways. Everybody fucking talks. So
yeah.
Jesus fuck.
All right. I'm going to start out with a review on it. And I should probably get up higher than this, but I'm thinking somewhere in the range of 4. I mean, because it's entertaining and I like the movie, but I wouldn't say it's like a knockout movie. But a 4 is not bad at all. Like, so yeah. I mean, I feel like it sits there that range, maybe a little bit above, maybe a 4.3. I don't know. It's in that realm, like for me, as far as like when I'm watching it, the only thing that's a negative, and it's not a negative, is just that it's not a werewolf at the end of the movie. But I like the fact that it's not a werewolf. So I can't even hold that against it. It's just kind of, you know, you see the warts in it because it was a small budget. I mean, with some of the scenes like you talked about with the arm and the rubbery head. But that wolf looks so fucking good in those scenes that they show it.
Yeah, they did a good job with that.
And, man, I love Jim Cummings acting in this movie. It's like, I mean, he gives it a 3 by itself and everything else is loaded on top of it. I mean, so I'm sitting around a 4-ish range. Like, I don't... I debated on it. I thought about dropping into the threes, but really, to me, it's around a four, just because I do like the way that he structured it and the way that he, you know, kind of went about like tying the old lore in, but in a different direction.
Yeah. Real quick before I go on to my review, how did we discover this movie? Did we Google and find it, or?
I found this movie at some point in the past, and I don't even remember. I was just researching like new horror movies that came out, and like somebody listed that one and said that if you wanted a decent werewolf movie, a new one to watch it, and that's what kind of got me onto it.
Okay. I believe. Because I didn't know if it was like Cody or anyone else that had suggested it or whatnot. This is gonna probably surprise you. Maybe it won't, but this one was a knockout for me. And I think because I started with low expectations, I had not heard of this movie. And it's, I was going to give it like a 4.8, a 4.9, because it doesn't seem scary. But then what took it to a 5 is probably one of the things you didn't appreciate as much, was that it wasn't a wolf, because, or a werewolf. Because, let's be honest, werewolves don't exist.
That's true.
The real monsters are humans. We learned that in Supernatural.
And Scooby-Doo.
And Scooby-Doo, exactly. And that was a surprise for me. What was also a surprise with that was that this movie, okay, we say this to the fans, and I don't know that I've ever said it in this kind of context, but you and I work full-time, sometimes more than full-time. You know, we got our daily lives. We got all kinds of stuff we're dealing with, and we don't get paid to do this podcast. So when I have to watch a movie that I potentially think I might not like, or I've never heard of, or it doesn't look appealing, it's work. And when you make a movie that makes me feel like I'm not working and I want to keep watching, or I want to rewatch it, you got a 5 out of me. And this is a 5 out of 5.
I mean, again, I can't really fault you for that. I mean, like I said, it's one of those things where it's like, what do you want out of the movie? And I appreciate the fact that there's a narrative cheat to give you a werewolf in this movie, because again, it's, you're being, you have an unreliable narrator who is spiraling into alcoholism, and he projects the wolf, and that's why you see it as the viewer. And I think that's cool. It's just, I don't know. I waver back and forth on that, and just like, I don't know. It somehow keeps it in the 4 range for me. It just, because it's like, that's just where I'm feeling with it.
No, that's totally fine. And that's why we're two different reviewers giving our input on why we thought it was what it was. I mean, when I look at it now, music, I didn't really notice the music, so I'm not going to be like, music was 5 out of 5, but visuals, 5 out of 5. Story was 5 out of 5. Acting was 5 out of 5. Come on now, you're hitting every mark at this point. And like I said, when you make something feel like it's not a job to me, and it's like more enjoyable than you could ever imagine, I can't not give you a perfect score. You just made my day, you know?
Yeah, and again, like, I mean, the acting is totally what sells this movie to me, just because, I mean, regardless of the story, which I do like the story on it, and that story is always a big component for me, I just think, I mean, like, you could sit there and say, oh, he's unlikable, he's, you know, kind of an aster in this movie, but he's realistic. That's the point. Like, yeah. I mean, he is a flawed man, and he's doing his best in a ridiculous situation to try to hold it together. And I appreciate the fact that they went that route with it, because, I mean, you don't get like the, you know, somehow he's going to fuck up, but then fall into the, you know, saving the day like Ash. He literally just fucking, I mean, through sobering up and good police work, he figures out the killer and then almost dies because of it.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it's again, realistic, and I like how he portrayed that.
Would you give it a 4.3?
I'd probably give it a 4.3. I'd bump it up a little bit, because, I mean, I think about it the more as I'm going along, and I just, it's worth pushing into the 4 range just to get it, you know, away from like the possibility of a 3. Yeah. I do feel bad though for the people who watch it and they don't like it. I mean, I get that it's not a werewolf at the end of the day, but I agree with you. It's kind of cool that it's not. Like, it's, mm-hmm. you know.
Like, what's scarier, the fact that you know you can go to bed at night and a werewolf's not going to attack you? Or the fact that you're going to get attacked by a werewolf, but it's actually a murderous man in a werewolf costume, and you still have died from two of your worst nightmares now, a werewolf and a murderous human?
Literally a murderous human who is so sick that they would kill a child. I mean, I mean, at the end of the day, they killed the kid in this movie. Like, they went there.
That's wild. I was like, are they going to show it? I didn't think that the little girl died. I was like, oh, she's going to live. And then you saw the casket and you're like, oh, they did it.
you saw the casket. You saw Jim's, you know, / John's reaction where he's just sitting there and he's like, I'm losing. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm exactly. not doing anything, you know?
He's losing all kinds of battles. He's losing the battle in his head. He's losing the battle at work. He's losing the battle in his personal life. Like, holy fuck, man. It doesn't get any worse than that.
And just the way that, I mean, and the humor comes through too, if you're not like looking for slapstick. It's, I mean, it's the humor in the sense of just how absurd he life really can be at certain times.
That's the only humor I caught, because I'm like, this is not, to me, it was not a horror comedy.
Yeah. Well, it's just the quirky way and the way that he responds. And some of the scenes too, because the way that he cut it. Like, when the one chick or whatever, like, is the very first time you see the werewolf, the ski instructor chick, the way that she interacts with the werewolf, there's, like, one little line she says where it's just like, oh, fuck. Or just the way she delivers it. The humor comes through, but it's very subtle. It's not like, you know, it's not like Shaun of the Dead. It's not like you're actually shooting for, I mean, it's the tone and the quirkiness of it.
It's a horror dark comedy.
Very much so. Yes. Yeah, I would say it's probably in that range.
Yep.
But yeah, it technically is a human horror movie, mm-hmm. but I would, it's a werewolf movie. It's close enough.
Exactly. I think overall, just to kind of close it out for on my end, watch this movie. Give it a chance. It is so sad that it came out during COVID. I think it could have done so much better in the theaters. It was almost, when I thought this was going to be a horror comedy, I was thinking somewhere along the lines of, what's that other one that we watched? The wolf, werewolf comedy.
Werewolves Within?
Yes. I was almost getting those kind of vibes at first, at least visually, because visually these two films are very similar, you know?
Yes.
And I was like, okay, I'm all excited. And then the more I'm watching this, I'm like, I'm not getting a lot of humor from this, but this movie is so fucking good. I was entangled into this film, so.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It would make it interesting, like, I don't know, like double feature with Werewolves Within, because mm-hmm. the plot is similar in the sense that you're trying to figure out who the killer is, and it's seemingly a werewolf.
Yes.
Which, in Werewolves Within, it actually is a werewolf, but that's, you know, spoiler alert, you know.
Neither here nor there.
But yeah, to wrap it up on my part, like I'll bump it up to 4.3. Like I don't know. It's just one of those things where it doesn't hit me to where it's like, I mean, it's not American Werewolf in London. It just, it doesn't hit me that way that I would just want to watch it all the time. But at the same time, it's so good that I would watch it like yearly or something.
Oh, absolutely. This is definitely one of those. If it's on TV, I'm not doing anything. I was cleaning. No, I'm not. You know, and then for the listeners, I'm at a 5. Reverend is at a 4.3. Like, ooh, are you higher than him? Are you less than him? Like, have you seen this movie and what do you think? And if you haven't seen this movie, definitely go watch it. It's definitely a recommendation from us.
Do you feel like you fall in the camp on Reddit where it you just the protagonist, like in the ending of the movie, you know, sold the whole thing for you so you couldn't actually, you know, enjoy it? I mean, because I get the people who say that, but at the same time, even though I was disappointed with an actual werewolf, I'm with Irena, the fact that it's, I think it's cooler and scarier, the fact that it's actually a real guy, because it's closer to actually what werewolves probably were inspired by, to be honest. But anyways, let us know. And with that, peace be with you.
And with your spirit. We'll be right back.
Yeah.